Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle in My Lucky Day.
I am not a particularly superstitious person, but I am a lucky one. And I think that's because I do attempt to propitiate fate in my own small way. I mean, if I walk under a ladder, I always cross my fingers on both hands. And I keep them crossed until I meet a dog. Mine, living in a house with three cats, I sometimes go for days with my fingers crossed. Now, Evadne scoffs at this sort of thing. She crosses knives. She upsets salt cellars and opens her umbrella indoors. She swears that's not unlucky. And this, despite the fact that the last time she did the umbrella trick, she brought down half the ceiling in the hall. Well, just occasionally, fate pokes her in the eye. Take last Christmas. I asked her to pull a wishbone with me. She broke her little finger. Well, see, you can see that living with Evadne, I need all the luck I can get. Well, one morning a week or two back, I returned from a little walk, convinced that I was in for a very, very lucky day. Evadne, dear. Evadne, I'm back. And guess what I've got?
Well, it can't be blisters on your feet, Hilda. You've only been out 5 minutes.
Look, dear, it's a horseshoe.
How nice.
I found it while I was walking down the lane.
Well, find three more and you can buy a horse.
And you know, a couple of minutes later, a black cat walked right across my path.
Oh, dear.
What do you mean, oh, dear?
Well, that's unlucky, isn't it?
No, dear, that's lucky.
Hilda, I thought black cats were supposed to be associated with the witches and the powers of darkness.
Well, everywhere else in the world, they are, Evadne, yes. But not in Britain. In Britain, they're lucky.
How very convenient for you.
You can't blame me, dear. I didn't make the rules.
Hilda, I have nothing whatever against black cats. I'm simply saying that even superstitions should be consistent. I mean, a thing cannot be lucky in one place and unlucky in another. It insults one's intelligence.
Evadne, I find it hard to believe that through that long, lean body of yours there runs such a deep, broad vein of skepticism. I bet you are a little bit superstitious, deep down.
I am not.
Nearly everybody else is.
Well, I'm not.
You don't believe that if you move house, it's terribly unlucky to take your pig trough with you.
Of course I don't.
You don't think it's bad luck to sleep on a table?
No, just darned uncomfortable.
Or to hop downstairs on one foot?
Just dangerous.
Well, that's it, isn't it, dear? My point exactly. I mean, there is some sense in these superstitions, and I think it folly to ignore them. Anyhow, I'm not going to allow your dreary rationality to spoil what is obviously destined to be a very lucky day for me. I have found a horseshoe, a black cat has crossed my path, and I haven't a care in the world. Off of my shoulder goes off.
Oh, God.
I say, Evadne, let's do a song. It's on the piano somewhere.
You're quite sure it's not an unlucky one?
Unlucky? Oh, dear, no, no, not for me. It was always so very, very lucky for me. I sang it on that tour of Cyprus in 54, remember, doing my impression of Jesse. Oh, didn't the boys just love it?
Yes, didn't they, dear? But isn't that the song you were singing the night you fell through the stage in Famagusta? No.
Don't be such a wet blanket, Evadne. Just play. I've been a prisoner, locked in a jail. Love held the only key. Love heard me crying, locked in a jail. Come to the help of me. Oh, what a wonderful feeling to be free, really free.
Fandangers. Oh, help, my little trouble. It's gone beyond recall. Over my shoulder goes it all. Over my shoulder goes three hairs. Over my shoulder goes four hairs. My mind for trouble, it's gone beyond recall. Over my shoulder.
Everything safely over my shoulder. Oh, is that it? What's that glinting on the floor over there?
Where?
There, under that chair. Is it a pin? Oh, if it is, that's the third thing this morning. See a pin and pick it up. All the day, you'll have good luck. Oh. Oh, it's a sliver of broken glass. It looks like a bit of mirror. Evadne.
Yes, dear.
Where's the little mirror that stands on that table?
Standing on the sideboard.
Oh. All right, then, where's your handbag mirror?
In my handbag.
And where's your handbag?
Mind your own business.
Uh-huh, I see it.
Leave it alone.
It really is about time you got a new handbag, you know, Evadne. This one looks like a donkey's nose bag.
Hilda, put it down.
My goodness, the junk you've got in here. Do you know, dear, if you ever got knocked down, they'd open your bag and assume you were a beachcomber. I say, what is this?
That's my powder puff. Put it back.
Powder puff, my eye. This is a rabbit's foot. A lucky rabbit's foot. Go on, Evadne, own up. You are superstitious.
I most certainly am not. And that is my powder puff. What would I want with a rabbit's foot?
What indeed? But why not do yourself a favor, dear? Go out and buy a new one. It's plain as a pikestaff. That thing has not brought an ounce of luck to you or your face. Where is your mirror?
In the mirror pocket.
It is not.
It is.
It most certainly is not. Oh,
I told you it was.
But evidently it's in pieces.
Hilda, you asked me its whereabouts, not its condition.
Well, honestly, there'd be bad enough breaking a mirror, but it's just plain daft to wrap the pieces up in a paper tissue and stuff them back in your bag. Just look at that.
What?
There, on the tip of their finger. There, evidently, is blood.
Would you like me to apply a tourniquet?
No. I'd like you to apologize and to be a little more sympathetic.
I'll get you a sticking plaster.
No. Oh, my skin's far too sensitive for plasters. Just get that nice little lace hanky there off the table, will you, and tie that round.
Very well. But shouldn't you wash your finger first?
And snapping it. There, Evadne, I've sucked it. And my suck's more hygienic than anything that comes out of a tap these days.
All right. Hold it out, then.
There we are.
How's that?
Well, it looks a bit like a finger puppet. But I suppose I'll just have to put up with it. Now, Evadne, you must take all that broken glass of yours out of your bag and throw it into a fast-moving stream, dear, as quickly as possible.
Why?
It washes away the bad luck. Alternatively, you can take the pieces to a graveyard on a night when there's no moon and no stars and bury them.
I shall do no such thing. It's only a few pieces. I can stick them together again.
Oh, Evadne, don't be so mean. It would make your face look even more distorted than it does.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to get some of that super glue and stick it together again.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you, dear. Knowing your luck, you'd get your finger stuck to your nose and end up looking like a 6-foot Toby jug.
Well,
think I see a way to expunge the ill luck that you've just brought upon this house.
If you're going to ask me to turn round 3 times, empty out my pockets, and spit in my hat, I flatly refuse.
No, no, dear. There is a sweep coming up the drive. And to meet a sweep is terribly lucky.
I expect it is, if your chimney's as dirty as ours is.
Now, Yvette, it's not often I ask you to do something for me, is it? But today, I beg you, place yourself in my hands.
Very well, Hilda. Anything for peace. Now, what do you want me to do?
I want you to run out and meet that sweep.
I shall do that willingly. I'll even ask him to sweep the chimney.
And Evadne, make him truly welcome. Do all in your power to make him happy here.
Hilda, I shall lay out a red carpet and carry him over the threshold. It will stop you grizzling. Wish me luck.
Oh, I do hope she doesn't make a mess of things. Oh, who's that tapping on the garden window?
Dame Hilda! Dame Hilda!
Maud, what are you doing out there? Just a minute, I'll open it. There you are, dear. Now come on, clamber in.
In a minute, Dame Hilda. I say, Dame Hilda, did you know the doctor had a sweep here?
Yes, dear, I knew.
And do you have any idea what she's doing with him?
Well... a vague one, dear. But I do hope she's not going over the top.
She's shaking his hand. She's parking his bake. Oh, look! She's got her hand on his rods. And his brush. And she's took his arm and she's took him in.
Let's hope she keeps it up.
Well...
if they're in, Maud, you may as well come in yourself. You might miss something out there.
Rest your game, Elder, I will.
Ooh. Ooh. I'll get straight out with the doctor.
I think I can hear him in the hall.
Perhaps first you'd like to come with me, Mr. Butler. There's a hot coffee and croissant in the kitchen. It'll warm you up before you start.
Mr. Butler.
Oh, it'll be old Macy Butler from the village. I'd heard as he took to doing a bit of chimney sweeping now and again, since the old sweep gave up.
Well, a sweep's a sweep, I suppose.
Mind, I'd not let him anywhere near my chimney.
Well, fair's fair, Maud. I doubt if he'd let you anywhere near his. Oh, Evadne, you're back. I hear that sweep of yours is old Mousy Butler.
Yes, Hilda. Apparently he was sweeping a few chimneys up this way and thought he might like ours doing.
There you are, dear. Fate sent him.
He'll be in a minute. So we'd best clear the decks. I told him this chimney hasn't been swept for years.
I'll just take me hat off, and then I'll shove this furniture back and make a bit of room.
No, Maud, no, don't. We'll manage.
Listen to Maud, dear. What is that terrible bruise on your forehead?
Oh, this. I got that having me photo took.
What happened? Did the photographer stone you?
There weren't no photographer, Doctor.
He walked out as you walked in, I suppose.
Oh, I'll tell Dame Hilder. She's more sense. And she don't fool around with sweeps. See, I went to that machine in the arcade, Dame Hilder. Do you know the one I mean?
Yes, I know, dear. 4 photographs for 50 feet.
Oh, you've been robbed. You gets 5 in these parts. 1 3-by-4 and 4 tiddlers.
Well, I never. Anyway, it's outside the gift shop, isn't it?
Well, it were outside the gift shop. But it ain't no more.
Where is it now, then, Maud?
Search me. They took it away. On a salvage lorry. As soon as the fire were out.
Yeah.
I knew it were an hazard when I first peeked in and seed that little seat. Just like a little toadstool it were. And if you wound it round, it went up and down. And whichever way I wound it, it wobbled.
Yet, well, that's to get you to the right height for your photograph, dear. See, if you didn't have that, someone would have to lift you up. Or in Evadne's case, knock you down. But there are full instructions, aren't there?
There's instructions all right, Dame Elder. But I were too quick off the mark.
An interesting new trait in your character, Maud.
See, I gets in and I sits down, and straight off I pops in me money. And then I sees as I can't see myself. Well, seeing as nothing's happening, I stands up and I turns round, and then there comes this flash. So I jumps round and I sits down again sharp. And that with a little stool gone for a start.
Because there's not a lot of room in those things to spread yourself, is there, dear?
I don't think they were designed with Maud in mind.
You ask me, Dame Mildred, it's against the safety regulations. Well, there's nothing for you to grab hold of when you find yourself sat on the floor. Set the curtain. And that come away in me hands, along with half the roof. And all the time there's this flashing, flashing, flashing. It were a bit like the Blitz.
Did you manage to get any photographs at all, Maud?
Oh, I got some, Dame Milder. I got them here if you want to see them. There. That big un, that's me backside. It were took as I were turning at the start. The next one, that's nothing. No, I were on the floor when that were took. My hand took as I was struggling to get up. Oh, and that's my foot in the air. Took as I slipped and went down again.
You've still got a trim little ankle, haven't you, Maud?
Mm. And I love the Minnie Mouse slippers.
And that's all I got.
Well, at least they don't look posed.
There should have been five. Only me foot went through the screen, you see. And that's when the fire started.
Well, yes, but how did you get that bruise on your forehead then, Maud?
Because when the fire started, Doctor, I puts down me head and I runs. Straight into a fireman with a big brass buckle belt.
I say, they did get there quickly, didn't they?
Well, he hadn't really come for that. He'd come to have his photo talk.
Well, I can't stand you all day listening to Maud's apocalypse. I've got to find some duff cheap, and I'll tell Mr. Butler we're ready for him.
Oh, and don't forget it, Abney. Charm him.
Don't worry, Hilda. The grin is becoming fixed.
Now, is there anything I can do to help, Dame Elder?
Well, I think the best we can both of us do, Maud, dear, is to try and keep out of their way, don't you?
Oh, I think I take your meaning, Dame Elder.
So I suggest, dear, that you start in the bedroom. Now, by the time you finish up there, we'll no doubt be ready down here.
Right, old Dame Elder, I'll get started then. Oh, is Mr. Butler now?
Come in, Mr. Butler, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Dame Hilda. Oh, you're alone. I thought the doctor had come back here.
Oh, she won't be long there.
Tell me, Dame Hilda, is she, seeking an attachment?
Oh, I don't think so, dear. She's just gone to get some nut sheets. Didn't you bring your attachments with you?
No. I mean, she is a single lady, isn't she?
Oh, she is, dear. Yes, very much so.
And do you suppose that she is seeking companionability with someone of the opposite sex and similar interests?
Oh, you mustn't get the wrong idea about this, Mr. Butler. She welcomed you so warmly because you are a sweep.
I see. She has a thing about sweeps, does she?
Oh, goodness gracious, dear, you misunderstand. You see, this morning, Dr. Hinge broke a mirror.
A mirror? Ah, now I see. Oh, well, that's a relief. 7 years bad luck, and she believes in the luck of the...
Shh, don't say it, dear, you'll break the spell. Here we are. Duck cheeks, give them to me, Abney. Thank you. I'll spread them. You help, Mr. Butler, dear.
Oh, that's most kind of you, Doctor. Now, into the grate. Now, if you'd be good enough to pass me that little bundle of rods.
You know, I'd no idea it was you, Mr. Butler. When I saw you coming up the drive, I didn't know you turned your hand to this sort of thing.
Oh, I can turn my hand to most things, Dame Hilda. I acquired the art of chimney sweeping and this bowler hat from a very dear friend of mine who is a master sweep and a member of the Interplanetary Parliament.
He's what?
He's been to Venus.
What, sweeping chimneys?
No, just visiting.
Did he like it there?
Well, to tell the truth, Doctor, he was unable to land. It seems the Venusians had drawn a protective magnetic circle around their planet.
Oh, how very rude of them after he'd gone all that way.
I'll need another couple of rods, I think, Doctor, if you'll be so kind. Thank you. Yes, my friend is a member of what they call the Inferior Society.
Oh, I've read something about that. The society believes, if I remember correctly, that if mankind will advance into a state of cosmic consciousness, interplanetary existence, and the attainment of his true spiritual self.
Good gracious, Mayor. You started with mice and you've ended up with the cosmos.
As a matter of fact, Doctor, my friend recently prophesied the end of the world.
Oh, really, dear? When?
Last Thursday week.
No. I mean, when did he say it would happen?
Last Thursday week.
He doesn't sound very good at prophecy, dear. It didn't happen, did it?
Well, it would have done had he not prevented it. You were all saved while you slept.
I might have guessed.
Now, my brush must be very nearly at the top. Perhaps someone would be good enough to go outside and watch for it.
You go with Adney. You're the tallest.
Very well, dear.
And when you get outside the house, turn right, dear.
If I want to see his brush come through, I shall have to turn left, Hilda.
No, don't do that. Not on any account. Turn right. And go the long way round. It's luckier. It's luckier still if you run all the way and go three times round.
I think the brush is stuck.
Stuck, dear? What do you mean, stuck?
Well, I can move it neither up nor down.
Yes, that sounds stuck all right.
I'll have to set fire to it.
What?
That is the recognized way of removing a stuck brush, Dame Hilda.
But, Mr. Butler, the whole idea of having our chimney swept was to prevent its catching fire. Surely if we both push...
Well, it's worth a try, I suppose. Grab a hold of the rod, then, and I'll count to three.
Yes.
One, two, three.
Oh! 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 You've brought half the chimney down.
I think not. But there's your problem. Just a few bricks displaced in the chimney. I'll cast my eye upon the way out to make sure you're all right. If not, I can always point you up. Would you like the soot on your celery?
Well, I'd sooner that than on the carpet, dear, if you don't.
I say, Dame Hilda.
What more, dear?
Should I ask Mr. Butler to put this chimney pot back up before he goes?
Chimney pot, Maud? Where did you find that?
It were in the doctor's room, lying on her bed.
I say, Hilda, did you know we had a chimney pot missing?
Yes, I did, dear, but we don't. Maud's got it in her hand.
Where did you find that, Maud?
I didn't find it, Doctor. It found me. I were just in on the top of your wardrobe when it come sailing in through the skylight.
And it landed on your bed. Look, the pot's not even broken.
Nothing to worry about at all, ladies. I'll replace the pot. I'll mend the skylight. You'll never know I called.
Such a shame as I had that great big mirror off of the wall, isn't it?
The big... mirror, Maud.
Had it down for cleaning, I did. It were lying on the bed.
It isn't broken.
Broken? It smashed the smithereens.
And you said sweeps were lucky, Hilda.
In that name, living with you is like living with Jonah. Well, that does it. I'm going up into your bedroom... I'm going to gather up the pieces of that mirror, and I am going to find a fast-moving stream into which to throw them. And there's another thing.
What's that?
Until I get back, you three can stay here and keep your fingers crossed. And don't uncross them!
That was My Lucky Day, a further extract from the random jottings of Injun Brackett, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Frank Williams, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dias.